Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
It's Gwen, and you're listening to Glam Squad Confidential, the podcast where we talk to the best and brightest of Hollywood pros, hairstylists, makeup artists, manicurists, facialists. You know the drill, but of course, I could do none of this without my co-pilot on the beauty plane, Mr. Travis Cronin on the mic.
Hi, ready for takeoff, Gwen.
My God, excellent. You have your seatbelt fastened?
Yes, I do. My tray table's in its up and locked position. I am ready to go and talk all things Met.
Oh my gosh, yes, the Met Gala happened this week. And I don't know, Trav, what do you think? Smooth or bumpy ride?
A little bit of both. Definitely a little bit of both. There was a lot of black and white, but it was still really exciting, and it felt very like costume ball to me. So overall, I enjoyed it, even though it was a little colorless.
Well, you know, I mean, Karl Lagerfeld, he was really into black and white, right? And there was so much influence from the design houses that he designed for, like first and foremost Chanel, of course, where he was for 36 years, but also Chloe, Patou, Fendi. I mean, it's kind of crazy how his influence really defined a decade, because for me, Met Gala, everything on the red carpet, I felt so nostalgic for the 90s. And the 90s had been happening in beauty and style for the last couple of years. I mean, all those kids on TikTok, all the Gen Zers who are like doing 90s makeup and Y2K stuff, it's like, this is the reference, you guys. This is where it came from. So we are going to get into that. But first, of course, we have like an amazing guest today, Trav. I mean, we have kind of like the best Hollywood hairdresser of all time.
Yes.
He is storied. He is famous. He is someone who like all the models go to, all the celebrities. He is also my friend. He has graced my head with his scissors at times. And he colored my hair. When I was the 40-year-old virgin, he made sure that was not going to be the case for much longer. All right, guys, without further ado, today we have Mr. Harry Josh with us. Hello, Harry.
Hi, guys. Thank you so much. So fun to do a little podcast, especially the calm after the storm of...
I can't even imagine. We're going to...
So many big ones going on all at the same time now, so it's good.
Yes, crazy. I mean, this week was insane. Before the Met Gala was that Tiffany event, which I feel like every celebrity was there.
So like big, big fashion events, big carpets going on all together at once. So it was, needless to say, a very hectic week, but alas, it's behind us now. So we may breathe in
which
the country.
Excellent, excellent. So let's talk about this Met Gala, and then we can just go back and talk about Met Gala's past and sort of like your favorite experiences from Met Gala and what Met Gala means to you. But for this year's Met Gala, 2023, Karl Lagerfeld's A Line of Beauty, you worked with the gorgeous Irina Shayk.
I did. And she kind of went totally against the grain from the theme. And she's always a rebel. I mean, last year she wore leather, no hair, no makeup.
Amazing.
You know, like she's always going to be someone who likes to challenge what people think she should look like and how she should be. So I always appreciate that with her because I never know what we're going to be up to and what she's feeling at that given moment. But she's very involved in her whole look from, you know, the dress choosing to the hair to the makeup. She loves sitting around and talking about references and pulling up images and where this stuff, you know, inspires her and why it makes sense to her. So I'm always kind of like just one step behind her while she's doing it all and just trying to put it together and make sure she's happy with whatever we end up at the end of the road.
I mean, it must be so fun to work with someone who has a clear vision, you know?
Yeah, that's what it does. She definitely does. She's always open. She can be swayed. For sure. There's been instances in our past we've done red carpets where I've been able to get her to change her mind and do something that turned out to be a great success. And she's like, oh, okay, cool. That was really good that we did that, X, Y, Z. But, you know, sometimes she just has a really rigid idea of what it should be and she doesn't want to really stray far from that. So, you know, alas, I'm just super happy to be part of the team, quite frankly. It's really nice. I mean, these events always really are all about having your A team with you. You know, the people you trust the most, the people you want to be around on a stressful carpet like this. Although she herself is pretty low stakes in the stress department, she's usually cracking jokes right up until she's going. And there was like problems happening with like her dress. And she's just like, oh, well, it is what it is. And like, you know, if it's not going to be the way it needs to be, she's just very low key about all that stuff. But what she's not low key about is conceptualizing what it'll be. She's very interested in the fashion aspect of how this will be portrayed, what's the right thing to do to be different. And, you know, I always appreciate that about her.
So I described the look that you did on her as kind of like very sleek bends to the hair, but how would you describe it?
It's incredibly raw. So we actually had a trial the night before because she wanted it to be as raw as possible. So we did not use curling irons. We did not use heat tool. We did not use any product. Actually, we used a little bit of product. We used the curl bomb. And at the end, we used a little bit of a finishing spray. But like considering it's the Met Ball where I used usually just gobs and gobs of product, this was not the case. So really for her, like we practiced the night before to figure out she has naturally frizzy hair. So she herself has really frizzy hair. She wanted it to dry naturally into whatever it would dry naturally into. She has a lot of texture, but she wanted to have it just the right amount of frizz reduction. So her natural is very frizzy. She did not want to smooth it out because she knew that required, you know, blow drying, curling iron, all that stuff. But she didn't want to have that in her hair. So what we did, gave her like a heavy mask the night before, a carousel shampoo conditioner and a heavy mask. Now, what that did is allowed us to, then we did a test literally for hair and makeup. I literally washed it dry for like 2 hours, just like sat there in the room and washed it dry and washed it dry. And we realized the next day, we just needed to put a teeny bit of curl bomb in. But other than that, it was going to be that texture of kind of this natural hair that didn't look blow dried. And she was just simply going to tuck it behind her ears and let it collapse. That was the goal. It was going to collapse around her shoulders. It was going to collapse as she moved. And some beats would get stuck in the front. Some would get stuck in the back. But it's so funny because it's such the art of nothing hair. All right.
Oh.
When you do something like this, which is so nothing, the amount of conversations that go into it would make the general public laugh.
Right.
They're like, that looks like, you know what I mean? But like, there's literally like, nope, it looks like too much. Undo it. You know what I mean?
Like no makeup, but the hair version.
Yeah. It was like literally the hair version of like, how can it look like I literally just washed my hair and I came to this event and tucked it behind my ear, kind of like a la maybe Mary Kate and Olsen, because they always walk around with their wet hair tucked behind their ears. You know, like they come out of the
shower.
It was kind of like that made me think of that. I'm like, okay, that's kind of like what they always do. And they just let it air dry throughout the day. So it was kind of that vibe was really important to her. She wanted it to be very light. So like if a gust of wind came, the whole thing would move. If she shook her head a little bit, it would move. And as she moved and posed, she wanted it to like some bits would fall in the front. And it was very a big departure because I just did a carpet with her, not even 4 days before that, which was extremely major hairdo.
Wow.
We did like a Vivian Westwood mohawk with curls.
Wow.
So radically different. So it's not like, you know, it's the way you have to look at it. There's a, you know, like when you look at, I always explain fashion in terms of art. Someone who is an untrained art eye, someone who lives, you know, maybe in a smaller town, doesn't have exposure to museums and stuff like that, all of a sudden gets escorted with this art expert into, I don't know, the Met, the Guggenheim, you know, something like that. And they're saying, like, look at that painting. That's like $300 million. And the guy who's hot guy or girl who's looking at it, who's grew up in a small town, is like, my 2-year-old could do that. And like, they're just like, they're like, that's so easy. It's a circle on a white square. You know what I mean? Right. And then there's all this like, no, you don't understand. At this time, everybody was doing tons of color. He took a bold step by making it white and making it perfectly circular and trying to justify the nothingness of the picture. And it's similar in fashion, like where you're just like, is it like, if you would have sat in the rehearsal kind of whatever, the fitting the night before, you would see how much thought was put into the nothingness.
I love that.
You know what I mean? Like, it wasn't just like, oh, I'm just going to have a glass of wine and have a drink and however it dries, it dries. It was like a deliberate, like, how much can we put into this to make it look like exactly the way we want it to be?
Well, and she stayed on brand with that emotion when she went to the after parties wearing sweatpants. Like, it was kind of like, total antithesis to Met Gala, which was obviously such a statement. And she pulled it off so well.
Yeah. I mean, she's a beauty. She knows what she's doing. She's one of the top girls for a reason. So it's kind of always fun. I mean, listen, for me, it's a little different because sometimes those are usually, I've done so many award shows, and so many red carpets for so long. And when you're a hair and makeup artist, you rarely get the opportunity to really push and do something special for a carpet. Right. So these are reserved for these moments where you get to do something major. So I had to like sit on my hands this season and be like, all right, this is what the look is. This is what she wants. She doesn't want like, you know, a mohawk. She doesn't want short hair. She doesn't want a bob. She doesn't want this. She doesn't want slick back braids. She doesn't want any of that. She really wants to roll in with this. And it's, I got to lean into that for her. You know what I mean? I got to lean into what she wants. And so I think it's interesting for people looking outside and stuff like that, thinking like, oh, well, I'm looking for drama and I'm not seeing drama. You know what I mean? And not time is it about drama? So that's a part of our business that, you know, you have to just roll with the punches and it'll have to be what it is.
And what was her, you know, intention going, but was it 90s minimalism? Yeah. Was it a photo of a runway show?
Yeah, we looked through all of the 90s runway shows for Yoji. We looked for also other parallel designers and 90s minimalism. The makeup on her face was actually literally 2 hours before that she decided she wanted to do that.
Mm.
So she was going to go barefaced as well. And just 2 hours before, she kind of like had an inkling and liked a piece of, liked something she saw. And she's like, oh, actually, this could be nice. And this was part of our trials the night before, but she had kiboshed it and said, no, I'm going no hair, no makeup.
Right.
And then she saw the makeup the next day when she's reviewing everything. She's like, actually, no, let's do the makeup, but let's not do hair. So it was like literally something that came through her. And she's like, no, I want to have this impact, but still have this kind of 90s minimalism. And, you know, it was actually quite a coup to get the dress to begin with. Yoji does not lend out archive pieces from 30 years ago to just anyone who asks for it.
Sure.
So there were a lot of hoopla about getting the dress. This dress particular, I was around when this dress was on the runway and I was backstage. So I was around the first iteration of this 20, you know, years ago or more now, probably 25 years ago. And it was very cool to see that dress come back. And when you have a piece like that as well, you have to have the runway body because they will not like, not allowed to alter an archive piece.
Oh, they're not Ripley's, believe it or not, with only the most famous dress worn by a Hollywood starlet named Marilyn Monroe.
Yeah, like that was shocking that they let her alter that, but they did. Yeah, but the rest of them, typically you can't alter. You just have to slip in, and if it fits, it fits. Right. And if it doesn't, then you got to find another dress. But obviously she's perfect runway model, so just slipped right a glove. And she looked amazing. And it's a really tricky color to carry. Like, white is hard on a carpet. Silk is hard on a carpet.
Right.
So she kind of floated through the whole thing. And I thought it was beautiful.
Well, you know, speaking about that, the hair makes sense. You know, she was so smart to want something as unstructured as the dress.
She wanted it ethereal. You know what I mean? Just super soft, natural, that like if she's walking down a runway, the fluffy hair would just kind of like move behind her, you know, like that no product fluffy, but just enough kind of a look, you know,
and no heels.
No heels.
I'm look like slippers.
She's a rebel. Like, you know, she's going to do whatever the antithesis is of everyone else. So, and she did high glam 4 nights before, so she's not scared of high glam. I mean, like, if you pull up a picture from 4 nights before, it's pretty wild. You know, crazy hair, crazy makeup, crazy outfit, corset, you know, 10-inch heels, you know, the whole nine yards. But, you know, she's just always looking for change and, you know, wants to, like, be different. I remember even last year when she did the Met Ball and she wore the leather and wanted no hair and makeup. That was just like beyond me. I'm like, wow, this is what you want to do? And she's like, yeah. She's like, I want to be like.
Could you imagine being that beautiful that you can go to a red carpet barefaced?
Yeah, totally. No hair, no makeup. And it's really just like she is. Yeah, she definitely is someone who likes to have no makeup. Just in general, she doesn't like to wear a lot, period, for any event, unless it's drama.
Right.
But to look prettier, that's like a turnoff to her. Like to be like, oh, this is very flattering. She's just like, oh, boring. She's like, that's so boring. She's like, never look pretty. She's like, I want to look cool. So that's really her thing. She's bored by typical, like, I mean, I guess when you're that pretty.
Yeah.
I've seen this face my whole life. Like, let's push it to do something else or let's just strip it down to nothing, you know? But literally, who can do that? Like three people?
Literally. Well, Giselle is one of them, right? You're like longtime friends and client. I thought she looked incredible. I loved that hair that she had on the carpet. It was sort of like
it's funny
hair that you created for her, you know? Yeah.
But the thing is, she's another one like that who's not going to play into it.
Right.
Not play into like, oh, it's the Met Ball, therefore I'm doing like full dramatic makeup and made hairdo. She never does. You know what I mean? She's just like, I'm just going to an event as me and I'm wearing a great dress and I'm here to support my, you know.
Right. Right. I mean, she literally, it was her signature model off duty hair that she was wearing.
Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised if she did nothing to it at all and like just rolled in, you know, like, you know, so that's just that her. And there's a certain group of girls that just like are like that, that just aren't into it for that reason, just because they know everyone else will be.
Right. And Met Gala is one of those events. It's a little different than like Oscars because it's really more about this self-expression of creativity than it is about, you know, fronting for a film you were nominated for or, you know, feeding into that whole Hollywood glam thing.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Absolutely. So, and I think that these girls are probably most in their element because it's their peers. It's all the people they work with that they know. They do have a little bit of a moment to just do like what they want for the most part, unless they're like heavily handedly with a designer who's really begging them to be a certain way. But for the most part, they don't.
Got it. And thinking back, was there a Met Gala moment like throughout your career that was your favorite or something that you'll always remember?
I really loved the model as muse year. And it's not necessarily because of anything I did, but as a carpet, I love that because it was the most model heavy carpet I ever. And with all the supers were there. So all the supers were invited. That's usually not the case every year. Like you get a handful and like, you know, but they had like the old legends, the new legends. And I just kind of loved that because to me, it's like these designers really, these girls, these designers worked hand in hand to make these pieces that they wore come to life and be shot across. So for them to honor models as muse, I thought it was just such a cool Met Ball. So to me, that was probably my favorite to see all the pictures. Just because there were so many models and I love to see models. That's what I love.
I was sort of disappointed that there weren't more of the supes there, you know, like those supermodels, the glamazons from the 90s, because what I realized, it really hit home that it was that moment, you know, it was really like that pop culture moment. And Karl Lagerfeld played into that so much. But as you say, it was also that it was these girls with the way that they looked and the kind of bigger than life personas that they had. Like, I was kind of like, where's Cindy? Where's Linda?
Claudia.
Where's Claudia? I'm shocked that Claudia wasn't there. I was so hoping she'd rewear, you know, one of her very iconic Coral moment dresses. You know, I mean, Claudia Schiffer was the couture bride 11 times, holds the record, you know, like at the end of every Chanel show, there is the couture bride. And that person did signal at the time, Karl Lagerfeld, this was his muse. It was either his muse at the moment or his coming muse for the next season. And Claudia Schiffer did it 11 times. Where was she? Yeah, I was bummed.
So many of these big girls were absent. And I know that in the beginning, Helena and Carl, Helena lived with Carl Lagerfeld for like a year.
Right.
And like sitting with him. So like a lot of the weird guest list that these girls, unless they were chose not to come or they weren't know what happened there, but I was expecting to see exactly what you did. I was expecting it to be like Supermodel Mania, all generations.
Right. Yeah. But this was in that moment. Yes.
Yeah. Wasn't. So, you know, it's a very interesting thing. And, you know, obviously in the last decade, maybe a little longer, they've been introducing like different levels of celebrities, you know, which I just, I don't know. It's for me personally, being someone who grew up in the fashion business for the last 30 something years and seeing how fashion is, I didn't feel like it was necessary to stretch the invitation into Hollywood. I felt it should have always been a fashion event.
Right.
Just like fashion people and fashion models, the way it started. And it just kind of evolved into like all celebrities have all, you know, TV, film, and now influencers. You know what I mean? So it's kind of like really changed the whole dynamic of it. I guess people will argue, well, that's fashion and in fashion things change and whatever. So I'm just speaking of nostalgia. I'm not saying right or wrong, just nostalgically, I remember the early years better.
Yeah. Trav, what were some of your favorite looks?
Well, Irina's twin, Bad Bunny, was probably my favorite. Their looks like they went hand in hand, didn't they? They could have walked out. It's like a couture bride and groom. I think Bad Bunny was my number one favorite. I love Doja Cat. It is still a costume ball. So I like to see an element of costume in these. It's not, you know, this isn't just a regular red carpet. It's a costume gala. So I thought that the fact that she only meowed for the Vogue interviews and did that, I was like, this really is understanding the assignment. You came in costume as Karl Lagerfeld's favorite organism on this planet. I could have used a bedazzled Coke Zero as well. but yeah, they were definitely my top two. I also loved Janelle Monáe in that like classic Tom Brown big cage dress. And of course, amazing. Nicole Kidman and Anne Hathaway, I thought were like really, really good.
I loved Anne Hathaway. I just thought she looked so beautiful. But of course, it was like I almost died when Nicole was wearing that dress because I love that film so much. Like sometimes when I'm depressed, I watch it on YouTube now. That little Chanel number 5 commercial. It's so sweet. The dress is so amazing. And I just wish she would have run up the stairs so it would have been flouncing.
Yeah.
Like it did.
They have done that at the end. Like sometimes stuff is still dropping today that I didn't see on Tuesday.
Totally.
I got that footage. That's interesting. So you never know what exactly, you know, could come from that. But yes, I agree. Nicole and the dress was pretty amazing. And I love that these girls still, they probably have these pieces and it's amazing that they all still fit into them just perfectly fine. Like, am I the only one who fluctuates year by year? Like,
I don't think, you know, all those pieces, the archival Chanel pieces, Chanel has them. And I assure you, unlike Ripley's Believe It or Not, they took painstaking measures to alter the dresses to fit now in the way that they wouldn't damage the archival piece and they would flatter the celebrity the most and, you know, all that. I mean, I'm sure it was such an insane production for them, but it was fun. Now, did you guys get ready like at the Mark or the Carlisle?
Yeah, we got Mark. It's usually always handy and convenient for everyone to get ready there because it's so, the traffic is so nuts to go that just the four blocks that the closer you are to the venue, it just, the easier it is. So for the most part, I'd say, it seems like to me, like a good probably 80% of that evening is between the Mark and Carlisle. Most of those guests are staying in between those two hotels. And then maybe 20% have decided to get ready at home or elsewhere.
To be a fly on the wall, man.
It's a pretty hectic hotel scenario. It's very funny. I always laugh that people don't really see the behind the scenes drama that happens at a hotel like that. But basically, the elevators are pretty much unavailable. You just can't.
It's like a 30-minute wait.
So basically, everyone uses the stairs. So you're going through the fire escape stairs on either side, and you'll see people with the evening gowns and like two assistants holding the bottom of the dress as the, you know, talent's trying to walk down the stairs. And you have like a make running upstairs side by side next to them, or a tailor, because they have more than one person they're getting ready. Like someone's on the 13th floor and someone's on the 4th floor.
Right.
And so those are the places that I think people should set up a little handy cam or GoPro.
Yeah. 13 and 4. Travis, remember that for next year.
Yeah, definitely.
See who walks past all day long. And it was just, it's very funny. And people are sweating and stressed. You know what I mean? Because like, they're like, something fell off. Go run upstairs 12 flights and get me a needle and thread. You know, it's that kind of stuff.
Insane.
So it is like that. It's a lot of high stress in that avenue just because, you know, and things always without reason, there's always something that happens. Right. A heel, like, you know, a sequin falls off or whatever doesn't close. Something rips, you know, the measurements were wrong when they did the fitting. Like, it's inevitably there's something. And I think when you've done enough of them, you just learn to roll with it and being like, okay, I guess I'm going to keep my hand on my hip the whole night because that's where the hole is. You know, or like right. Whatever the
be like, be low key.
Yeah.
So before we let you go, I mean, just these products that you use on Arena, they were by Carisilk, and you are the new, you were just named the Carisilk Celebrity Hair Ambassador. Right. Am I getting that right?
You are. Yeah. Brand ambassador. It's very, very exciting for me because, you know, what's ironic is that this line in general is so lightweight and so perfect for that beautiful polished red carpet hair. Yeah. And, you know, it's going to be very easy for me to integrate this into my life because I just do so much like with these events. So I'm very, very excited to be with the brand. That it also smells amazing. It smells so, so good. So even yet the day I was doing it in Irina's hair, she's like, it smells so nice. She's like, I definitely want to keep the mask. So I know she's got the mask in her purse as we speak. So oh, there you
amazing.
Have it.
That's amazing. But
I love Carisilk.
The original Carisilk I used in the 90s. Like
amazing. So it's
a real full circle event for me with Carisilk and this Met Gala. Amazing.
Yeah. So pretty awesome that it's back in the running and back in a big way, in a really big way.
Well, thank you so much, Harry, for joining us. And of course, Travis, I mean, I can't even imagine what Met Gala nights are like for you. You don't hide in the bathroom of the Standard Boom Boom Room anymore, but it's still
on the list.
There were so many amazing celebrities and looks on Monday night that it was just, I mean, even my best beauty gallery had 42 slides. It's like there were 110 in our see the best, you know, every look of the night. So guys, if you haven't seen all the pictures, if you haven't seen Arena's look, go to usmagazine.com/stylish. You can see all of it. Until our next episode, you can find all of our celebrity beauty and style news there as well. Thank you, Harry. Thank you, Travis. I'm Gwen Flamer, executive editor of Beauty and Style for Us Weekly. And we will see you next week for a new episode. Until then, you know what to do. Stay gorgeous.